someone else's journey is our lesson.
We used to say, the difficult we do immediately, the impossible just takes a little more time.
Someone else's lesson is our gift.
I believe part of our responsibility is really to equip and inspire our students to ask those difficult questions.
Be encouraged by the stories that lift us all.
I came to Howard because I wanted to be the President of the United States.
Somebody saw something in me, and it's my duty to be that person for somebody else.
Now, join Dr. Wayne Frederick, President of Howard University, and his guest on The Journey.
With his baton, he knows how to help singers reach deep within to find their souls. Whether they're singing the works of Beethoven and Mendelssohn or the work songs and spirituals of ancestors long gone, he helps individual singers become an ensemble. Hello, I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick, and my guest today on The Journey is the director of the Office of University Choirs and Bands and the conductor of the Howard University Choir, Dr. Eric Poole. Welcome.
Thank you.
So you were born in Baltimore, right up the street, as they say.
I was born in Baltimore. My sister lives in the area in Randallstown, and I have lots of family here in the D.C. area. But I grew up in North Carolina on a farm reared by my grandparents, and just a happy kid, chickens, hogs, tobacco, lots of cousins that, you know, we played a lot and worked a lot. Never was the Saturday afternoon, wash the car kind of folk. We were Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon in the fields kind of people.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So far, I learned very quickly, though, I figured out for myself very quickly that I didn't think farm life was for me.
Yeah.
So music seemed to be my path away from the fields.
And apart from the energy around the farm, what types of things your grandparents instilled in you that got you so focused on academics as well as music? What was your early exposure to both?
Well, you know, my grandmother and grandfather, neither of them finished high school. But there was always this sense of do what's right, treat people with respect and kindness, do your homework, and you'll be okay. My grandmother would always say to me, just before the door would slam when I'm leaving the house to go catch the bus, all right now, be nice. So, you know, from the early childhood, it was just ingrained in me that I needed to take care of my own business in order to go to the next step.
And they gave you that advice despite the fact that they probably grew up and lived in a time where society was nice to them.
Right. My grandfather never talked too much about it, but yes, I've often heard about the issues that they had to deal with, not being able to go certain places or not being able to do those kinds of things, but they never ingrained in me that I couldn't do something beyond what they were able to do.
Right. Yes. No, that's fantastic. So tell me about your high school experience in terms of, were you exposed to music in high school, and was there a particular mentor or teacher who really caught your attention?
You know, I have shared with students on occasion, there are four things that I remember that kind of stuck in my heart's mind as I was growing up. First of all was my grandmother singing. A mezzo-soprano. She would never call herself a mezzo. She just sang alto in the choir. Hearing Leontine Price do that commercial for the United Negro College Fund, coming home one day after church and turning on the television and watching Leonard Bernstein conduct Beethoven's Symphony No. 5 from memory. And when I first visited my mother in Baltimore, I was 9 years old. And so she lived on the east side of Baltimore. And when I went into the house, she had an old 8-track tape. And she turned it on when we got inside. And who was playing on the tape but the Five Blind Boys of Mississippi? And hearing Archie Brown Lee lead, "Oh, Our Father," I said, "Oh, my God, I had never heard anything like that." That moment, those moments just kind of turned on new lights for me. And it started there. Now, in high school, I had some friends who started a small gospel group, and they wanted me to join. And I said, no, I'm not going to join unless we do these spirituals. I had been rambling through one of my great aunt's materials, as young kids will do sometimes, and I came across this album called by the Wings Over Jordan Choir, one of those early groups that did spirituals. moved, so moved, over my head. I've been buked. Rock of my soul in the bosom of Abraham. Those songs from an early age just kind of set in my soul. My grandmother never made me sing in the youth choir. I always sang with my grandmother in church, in the church choir. So that's kind of where it started for me.
and obviously getting focused on an education was important and going to college. Why an HBCU in North Carolina A&T where you did your BA in music?
Well, there was an A&T alumnus who heard me in the gospel group singing one Sunday. And I, one day in study hall, I get a call over the intercom. Eric Poole, come to the library. And it's the A&T alumnus. So do you want to go to A&T majoring music? And I talked to my grandmother about it. And she said, well, we'll see what we can do. That's where it started. And someone heard, someone followed through. And that's what I try to do to my students. Someone saw something bigger for me than I had ever conceived.
Right. No, and that's obviously an integral part of the HBCU experience, that personal interaction and engagement. And obviously after that, you came here to Howard to do a master in music, and then subsequently University of North Carolina at Greensboro, where you did your Doctor of Musical Arts. What was your experience at Howard like at that time?
The first day I walked on the campus at Howard, and I have tried to explain this to myself or figure out where I go emotionally when I think about that day, it was a different air. I still can't find the words to adequately lay it out, but meeting Dr. Norris, meeting Ms. Dobbs, meeting other faculty and friends and students, Howard was like, this is where you are to begin your real musical journey. I wasn't interested in being a choir director. I met a gentleman who had been an accompanist for Dr. Norris, and I sang with him. He came to A&T to be the choir director. I sang with him at his Christmas concert. He said, Eric, go to Howard, audition for Miss Dobbs. So at every point, there's been someone saying, you know what, young man, little fellow, little boy, this is the good step for you. And I simply did. And I came and I got in the choir, and I had never had a choir experience like that. Oh, the choir was so awesome, so wonderful. From top to bottom, there were singers who were phenomenal. And then Dr. Norris would shape and in different ways just pull everything together, from the most intellectual conversations or instructions to the most heartfelt instructions of how to connect to the music. How do you bring the music forth? And I tell my students now, most choirs sing beautifully. What do you say when you sing? And that's how it started for me. Dr. Norris hired me as his graduate assistant. I started conducting the chapel choir, and that's where I cut my teeth as a choral conductor. And then eventually I was there every Sunday with the chapel choir. It became ooh, a wonderful experience.
You're listening to The Journey. My guest today is Dr. Eric Poole. He is the director of the Office of University Choirs and Bands and the conductor of the Howard University Choir. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. So just to switch gears a bit, obviously that was a major part of your engagement. And subsequently, you obviously went on to be director of the choir of choirs in North Carolina, throughout North Carolina, as well as you were choir and men's glee club at North Carolina A&T, as you mentioned. When you came back to Howard, and as you engage, especially given the political climate, given what is occurring every day with African Americans in the society, music has always traditionally been a way for the voice of the people, as it were. How do you try to intertwine that in your delivery at our major events?
That's a question that I ask myself over and over again when we approach convocation, when we approach commencement. I occasionally reach out to try to learn who may be the speaker. It's always been my philosophy to try to find something appropriate. I don't necessarily go in for the entertainment piece. And so, you know, trying to find out, well, if John Lewis is going to be the convocation speaker, What speaks to his journey? How can I use the music to connect perhaps his philosophical, historical point of view to the students in the audience, as well as faculty and staff and friends of Howard? And it's always, you write out 10 titles. And by the time I need to respond to requests for music titles, I'm down to 2 or 3. And, you know, depending on the choir or where we are, I go from there. But it's always trying to choose something that speaks speak to the people. Not just for entertainment's sake, because we get that every day. We get that every day. So it's an awesome responsibility, but it's a responsibility that I take very seriously, in that as I've said to my students so many times, you never know who's going to be touched by what you sing. That song may not be for you that day, but someone else may be moved. So it's your job to do the best job that you can. And so even the best job I can is trying to choose the most appropriate literature for whatever the program where the choir is going to appear.
And as you know, the music at these ceremonies means a lot to me. I probably get more involved and energized about this than the typical university president, because I agree with you. I think it speaks to the time, the person, the journey. It also speaks, though, to a sentiment. And especially when I think of things like commencement and messages that you want families to hear and to resonate with, I think it's important. As you look at the training of young musicians today in a university setting, given the fact that there's so many avenues for them to get their music out that does not necessarily require formal professional training, why is it still important and relevant today?
One of the key things that we try to instill in the students is that becoming a musician is not a microwave experience. You can't press 2 minutes, bing, and oh, I'm a musician now. It does not work that way. There are lots of things we can do through technological means, but training the voice is a one-on-one, face-to-face kind of experience. And I try to instill in them the fact that if you gain the skill, skill gets you the invitation. Preparation gets you the callback. And so once you get on the stage, now you've set yourself up, because you've prepared yourself through all that practice. It is not going to happen overnight. It does not happen in the commercial break. And so if we can get them to see that, as we often try to do, and I think most times we're successful with that kind of pathway for them. Yeah.
And as we close, obviously you're recruiting students to join the Howard University band, which again brings a lot of school pride, etc. For our listeners there, why Howard University Department of Music today?
The history of Howard producing high quality, world class musicians, from the Smallwoods to Roberta Flack to Jesse Norman to recent graduates who are just blossoming on the stage all over the world. Faculty members, Chestnut, Afro Blue. Howard still represents that place where you can get the on the ground training and have opportunities to get the best and the greatest mentoring and education. And it's, who wouldn't want to be in the nation's capital? And Howard, it just, even for me, set me on such a path that through our passion, through our stories, we try to show students that look beyond where you are standing today to a world beyond what you've even conceived of.
Thanks for being here. My guest today has been Dr. Eric Poole. He is the director of the Office of University Choirs and Bands and the conductor of the Howard University Choir. And during our major ceremonies, that wonderful music you hear is music that he helps select and conduct. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Please join me next time on The Journey.
You've been listening to The Journey with Dr. Wayne Frederick on the Howard University Radio Network.